make up your mind. Decide to walk with me around the lake tonight. Around the lake tonight, by my side.
Welcome everybody to another edition of the Gwintelligence Podcast, not joined by David Marver here. Even though we are situated in the elite San Alijo Hills neighborhood while we're taping this, we are back at Double Peak Brewery here. And, you know, trying to get my bearings. There's a lot of methane in the air. The heat registered. I drove here from Lacadia. The heat rose quite a bit as I crossed the hill over the threshold. Two hills, actually. One past the water tank. And, you know, I'm trying to deal with the warmth. But, luckily, instead of Marver, I've replaced him with another San Alijo Hills resident, the illustrious Corey Stewart.
Hello, hello, hello.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, and suck at leisure.
God, leisure.
I know you didn't want this, and now you got it.
Leisure's the worst,
he's
right?
He's the worst. He's the worst.
Yeah. Like, who's worse on Twitter? Like, I do have a top five probably of worst on Twitter, but Leisure is on the top five.
Oh, he's in there. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. He falls in and out, though. Like, he can be okay. Like, you know, like, he'll be nice with his, like, grandkids or something. It's like, oh. And then he'll say something. You know,
but then you realize that he has his grandkids and he took him to, you know, the grocery store. That was the big entertainment that grandpa brought to the table there. Like, it's just the worst.
To go get deals on steaks and things such
not
as
even
that.
Steaks, yes. Butter. Butter. Just exactly. Find bulk butter. Who does that?
Leisure.
How old do you have to be to
Leisure,
do that?
Leisure, that's who does it. He's going to be so excited we talked about him, by the way.
You know, actually, talking about Leisure is actually a good segue into, obviously, the top issue of the day in Padres Twitter. But Leisure stated today on Twitter that he believes Ian Kinsler believes his explanation, right?
Yes, I saw that. I saw that.
And, of course, anyone listening to this is aware of the Kinsler situation, right?
The situation?
Yeah.
Yes, it is a situation, all right.
And as we all know, I mean, I don't know what your position is for your job or whatever, but, like, everyone's got a little taste of management, right? And everyone knows the best way to manage people is to tell them to F off, right?
100%.
And to extend that to actually say F all of you.
All of you.
Right. Not just the person that you're trying to manage.
Right. All of you.
I think I've read some management books on that. I remember back in college, right?
Yes,
that's how
exactly.
They teach you to do it.
Oh, man,
you know, even families, that's how you manage your kids, right?
Of course, course, yeah. Man, there have been some spectacularly bad takes on Twitter about what happened last night. But no matter what your take is on it, if you believed what was coming out of his mouth last night at his locker,
Well, Kevin Acey didn't.
I did. Oh, I
did
know.
You see those photos?
The look on Acey's face throughout the whole thing. It was kind of like... it was half him just going, I can't believe he's sitting here and spewing this bullshit. And the other half was kind of like, well, you know, fuck Padres Twitter.
<It's> like, which, you know, it's which, understandable.
Oh, go totally.
I respect that.
AC
I respect that opinion.
AC gets the shit beat out of him constantly. I'm sure he would love to yell, fuck all of you.
You know,
sure he would.
You know, we've been
And honestly, that would be okay.
We've been easy on AC this year. I think,
honestly, we're mending
a lot of fences with Kevin Acey.
I think it's been better. It has been better this season.
I bought him a beer at the Kept Faith thing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I bought him a beer and then walked away.
Oh, you just bought him a beer, dropped it on the counter?
I said, hey, Kevin, what do you want? And he said, I don't know. And I said, okay, well, I'll just get you this one. And then I handed it to him and then I walked away.
And that was it?
That was it. That was our
interaction. Did he know? Oh, he knows.
No, he didn't know who I was.
Oh, he doesn't know. Yeah, oh,
know.
I love that.
I think he found out later.
Oh, he did? Oh, he's like, who the hell just bought me that beer?
Yeah.
And then they were like,
was like, oh, these people are so nice.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's hand job. that's jag off.
Yeah. So, as we all know, you know, to reset, I would argue that you're the president of the Ian Kinsler, let's say, criticism club.
Yes.
None of us hate him.
No.
He's probably a nice guy.
Him. Yeah. Right, I
he's a borderline Hall of Famer. We can all respect what he's done.
Yeah, I was thinking about today. It's like when he, I didn't really know a whole lot about Kinsler when he got here. Yeah, I mean, everybody knows who he is, obviously, and he's had a really good career. He's lasted a long time. He's been an All Star.
He made a critical error in the World Series,
Gold Glover,
game 7
and
last year.
Remember that? Yes, obviously. But I didn't have any like huge axe to grind with him when he showed up. I didn't. We all have seen the comment about. Help Puerto Ricans and Dominicans celebrate, and that we just do it a little differently,
right.
Whatever, which is garbage.
It's
you
garbage.
Know,
yeah.
It's shit.
It was probably a bad tone to set when, when you came here.
Exactly. Yeah, but other than that, like, there wasn't anything like that I remember back from his career where I was like, oh god, I hate that guy. You know, and there's a list obviously of players that you don't like, and he just wasn't one of them. But I mean, he's just been bad across the board.
I mean, let's put it this way. Like, do you remember when Brad Hopp and Jorge Cantu were on the team?
Yes.
And that was our starting infield.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Brad Hopp was dreadful. Like Ian Kinsler are dreadful. And
yes.
Jorge Cantu was dreadful.
Dreadful.
Vinny
yes.
Castillo when he was on the team. Like, if Padres Twitter were
Jim
around
Edmonds.
Then and in the same position as it is now, we would be shredding Brad Hopp, right?
Right. Yeah. Of course.
I mean, taking out of this that Ian Kinsler had his, you know, arguably racist comments and stuff, which, of course, has set the tone for a lot of things. But let's ignore that
right.
for a second.
Yeah.
A guy that hits 170 and is batted in leadoff every day.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of – are we really wrong for criticizing him?
No. If he had just been celebrating and trying to fire up my teammates, and I'm really happy that I finally did something that was really positive. Okay, great. But I don't understand why he would be that angry at the fans. I mean,
let me ask you this. He's
been around forever. Really?
You were actually at the game last night.
Yeah, I was at the game.
I was not at the game.
Okay.
I watched it on TV, and TV kind of drowns out what the crowd noise is.
Yeah.
Ian Kinsler started the game 0-for-2. He also had a critical drop on a pop fly. I would argue that he should have caught it. It hit his glove. I would say that anything that hits your glove, you probably should catch.
Yeah.
He
could
also
have been Franmil's ball, but yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
We can argue who should have taken
but he
is the veteran leader,
right.
And he took charge,
yes.
And it hit his glove. And,
right.
and to be fair, Franmil did defer to Ian Kinsler.
Yeah, he did.
Who arguably was closest to where it fell. It hit his glove. That's really what matters.
Hit his glove, yeah. And it wasn't the easiest play ever. I mean, Luis makes it 100 times out of 100.
Of course.
Sweet
Prince.
Oh,
God, I miss him. God, his six-pack is just incredible.
God, I love him so much.
I really like his boating also.
Oh, yes, right?
I like that he's a nautical man like that.
He's such a nautical man.
You know, he grew up in inland Mexico, and I like that he's really embracing the ocean. I think it's sexy.
He's so sexy. Everything about that kid is sexy.
He also had a missed tag on a play.
Yes.
I think we would – you could argue that, whether he should have put the tag down, but I would say it was probably not an ideal tag on that.
Yeah. Should have got him.
So in those situations, how did the crowd react? Like how is it when Ian Kinsler's name is announced? Next up, Ian Kinsler.
He got some booze. He got some booze. I mean, but it wasn't like a whole lot, and it wasn't like a huge crowd last night.
No, it was a minuscule crowd.
It was a very small crowd, and surprisingly, there were a lot of Pirates fans there, and they were great. The Pirates fans were all fantastic. But yeah, he got, you know, you'd hear, come on, Kinsler, you know, that kind of thing.
But nothing crazy.
No,
right?
No, there was nobody like berating him or anything. And by the way, I say some stuff about that guy on Twitter and all that. I don't berate anybody or curse it at players when I just don't. I don't know. I just don't. I hate seeing that.
I don't do it out of respect to the other fans.
That's there. The other. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
I think it's weird booing in person. It's not a fear of facing them and booing them and letting them know my displeasure. It's that I've been to games where the people are booing and it's awkward for like my family. I guess.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
When someone's too angry, it makes you feel
it makes you uncomfortable. Like something's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah.
And
so
I don't want to be that guy.
No. Right. You don't want to be the guy. No. The only thing I've done, like the a couple weeks ago or whatever, I just like stood up and was just like giving the thumb, like just. Please, just get him out of here, please.
And we can get into this later, but like, you know, there is a theory that if you buy a ticket, you should have the right to do that.
Or to do whatever you want.
Conditions of the ticket.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
So the booing was not that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad. You just hear a smattering of people going, come on, you know, do something, please. You know,
nothing like dangerous. Or,
No.
How many F-bombs were dropped at him, towards him?
I didn't hear any.
Because I did tune into Coach John Cantera this morning for, about 3 minutes before I fell asleep at a stoplight. He said that He said that the fans at Petco can be very, very mean, and that they hurl, and sometimes when he does post games, they hurl a lot of expletives out onto the field. I've never seen this before. I've been to many, many Padres games. I've never really seen that. I have a, every year I go to a couple games in the Lexus Club or this whatever it is, the Sony Dugout Club or whatever it is now.
Okay.
I went with a friend, and we were real drunk because it's all you can drink there. Yeah. It was about the seventh inning. It was a day game. Ryan Howard was on deck.
Okay.
And it's a terrible insult, but my friend yelled, "Hey, Howard, go back to Howard University." Which you have to view it like a little bit and like look at the second level. Howard University is a historically black university, which you and I know because we've lived in Washington D.C.
Yes,
but
exactly, yeah.
But that's a pretty deep cut. And the usher came over and said someone complained and that we were cut off.
Oh,
after that for the rest of the game that of course we were welcome to drink in the club. But that out in the stands, we could no longer have Red Bulls and vodkas brought out to us. And so that, I mean, they're aware, like they're very vigilant in controlling that kind of of behavior.
Oh, there's ushers. We know the ushers.
They're all over you.
They're insane.
And so I have a hard time believing that Kinsler was driven to this last night because people were hurling F-bombs and expletives at him.
I don't want to cut. Like I said earlier, there were some bad tweets about that, but there were a couple about how we had driven him to what happened last night. We fucking didn't.
That's my next question.
No.
How much is Ian Kinsler on Twitter? How much are professional athletes on Twitter?
Right. He might have a burner account or something like that, but does he? I don't think he even has like an actual like.
I heard he canceled. Well, Coach John Cantara said that he canceled it, but
because
I tried to do some research
tweets
on this and I couldn't find.
I didn't even know that he had a Twitter account.
I don't think he does.
Yeah, and the other thing, like, if he doesn't
follow me, that's for sure. Does he follow you?
By the way, do you have any players that follow you?
I don't have any.
I don't have any.
I think they were told not to follow me.
I don't have any players that follow me. Yeah, there's like a couple people from the organization that follow, and the Padres don't follow me either.
I don't even have someone in the organization following me.
Really?
Wayne Partello doesn't follow me.
Hmm.
I hurt his feelings too much.
Well, you do. That's true.
Yeah.
I was going to say the other thing. I never tag players.
Never. I'm not thirsty to meet players. Like, I've met players.
Right.
They're not interesting.
Yeah.
If we're being honest,
right,
like exactly. Tony Gwynn was interesting as a child. Like that's a legendary figure. Right?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Let me tell you, meeting Gerald Clark was not interesting. Let's be honest. Like who went to like a Sprouts last year? Like these autograph sessions.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Jose Perella at a Sprouts.
He did go to Sprouts.
Wherever he went.
Yes, that's right.
He's not interesting.
Yeah.
He's not going to break it down with you.
No.
He's going to sign it,
he's
smile,
say,
"Hey, thanks for coming out."
Right, exactly.
It's
thanks
not
for being
that
a fan.
Fun.
Right.
And so I've never felt a need to be like to yell players by their name and be like, "Hey, Trey Wingenter, it's me.
Yeah.
I love you." You know, kind of like Miserable SD fan does very pathetically to players. I don't know if you watched his video yelled at Chris Paddock in the bullpen.
That's a bit, though, right?
It's a bit. Hopefully.
Yeah,
God,
it's a bit.
God, I hope that's a bit.
Everything with that kid's a bit.
Yeah,
that's why his stuff is good.
That's what Danny would never do. Danny's got respect for himself.
Moment of silence.
He's
Danny.
Been through the ringer. That guy.
Where were we going with that? I have no idea where we were going with that. I would meet Luis at a Sprouts, by the way.
I would meet him at a Love Hotel.
I just want to give that kid a hug. I feel bad for what he's going through right now. I really do.
Well, and that's really part of the story, right?
It's
not really like I pretty closely monitor Padres Twitter. Obviously, there's negativity towards Ian Kinsler, just like there's negativity towards any other player that sucks.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I can't count how many negative comments there have been about Will Myers over the years, right?
He's
taken a lot.
Oh, he's taken a lot.
He chooses to ignore it and eat at Chipotle, and he's happy, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, obviously with Kinsler, you know, some people, you know, were saying, well, you know, what about Hedges? Hedges is a mess. He can't hit. What about this player? It's like we have a relationship with those guys. Those guys have been here for a while. And so we've seen that they have provided value to the team, whereas Kinsler is has been here for a cup of coffee. We have no relationship with him. He seems to have absolutely no personality whatsoever, so there's no connection.
Other than anger.
Yeah.
And he shows the anger a lot.
Right. And so we really haven't – we just have no connection with the guy, and he's been bad the whole time.
Well, so and on top of that, what we do have a connection with is a long history of bringing in washed-up veterans at the end of their career who may be, you know, Hall of Fame caliber. Even
right.
which yeah. I would argue Ian Kinsler is on the fringe of being Hall of Fame caliber.
Yes. Yeah.
But we've been through it so many times, and it reminds us in a year where this is supposed to be the new face of Padres, right?
Yeah.
Ian Kinsler is a reminder of the old face of Padres.
100%.
He is Jorge Cantu for a new generation.
Yeah.
He's Ryan Ludwig. He's every other washed-up veteran that comes to town trying to skate on their past achievements and does nothing here.
Right. 100%.
Except he's worse because he apparently doesn't realize where he is in his career. Like,
yeah, that's the other thing.
He's he's very proud.
Right,
and to
yeah.
be that, to be a professional athlete at that level, you're proud. You
have
a lot of
be.
Confidence.
Oh, yeah, especially with the career he's had. He's had an amazing career.
And that's why that's why it's so weird what happened last night, because usually I think these players that are so confident believe in themselves enough that they don't feel the need to lash out in that manner.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it's very weird that he's so offended by how
and
disappointed everyone is.
Maybe he thought he was washed up. I mean, I don't know if you listened to Make the Padres Great Again, and you've tweeted it as well, that some people have said that Ian Kinsler was going to retire.
Yes,
that,
right.
That he had made the decision that he couldn't – I mean, he had a – everyone talks about the Gold Glove, but he had a bad year last year.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Marver would argue the opposite, but nobody cares what Marver says.
Well, I mean, just the play in the World Series alone.
Look, he OPS like 650 last year. Like, that's not a good. That's not
no,
good.
No.
Can he field? Sure. Not this year, but
yeah,
last
but
year.
That's,
okay.
And that's
Gold Glove is also really subjective and difficult to.
It totally is. But bringing him in, and obviously it was a different world when he was brought in. We all know that because Manny came after, and that changed.
Everything.
Literally changed everything.
At the time, it was harmless. I didn't even attack it.
Okay,
I said I shrugged and was like,
whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. The two-year thing was kind of weird, but that's their thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they know one-year contracts exist. I mean, look at over.
It's really 3 years. Imagine exercising the third, thinking that you would exercise the third year.
Anyway, yeah. So, but... Yeah, oh my God, I still can't believe there's an option on it. But yeah, but I think the only real thing, like when he was signed, that anybody would have criticized was that it was 2 years. Because we continue to do the stupid 2 year thing. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it, but we do. But really, that was the only thing. And then Manny shows up, and it's like, okay, well, now you have Kinsler and you have Greg Garcia, and that's kind of too much, really. And honestly, looking at it right now, I would definitely much rather have Greg Garcia because he's played, I think he's played third, short, second, and first this season. And Kinsler has not played anything but second base.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought bringing him in
his
gonna
career,
be able to,
he has never played anything but second base.
Yeah,
he has
so,
like one or two innings at third base in his entire career.
Yeah, so I don't know what the thought process is. Obviously, what the big thing is versatility. You need want guys that can
like,
you bounce
see his
around.
Arm, just, right? It's not great.
No, it's not great at all. The point I was going to get to was with him. It's like he's been terrible at batting. He's been awful on the base pass. I mean, base running has just been horrendous. And he still thinks that he has the speed that he had when he was 27, which even then wasn't
which never was
Ricky
fast,
Henderson.
Like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So to think you can steal third at 37 or whatever is a little crazy. But it's been the
son
glove.
Playing little league. Is taught that you don't make that out at third base.
No.
Like this is one of the fundamental.
Right. And wasn't that in the like in the bottom of the 10th of a tie game?
It was a critical time. It was
a critical time.
Of the game.
Yeah. And then one of the things about that particular instance was after the fact him saying, "Hey, you know, I'm aggressive and given the opportunity, I'll do it again." No.
That's where the manager is supposed to come in
and go. No, you're not. You are absolutely not. You don't have a green
Andy
light.
Andy Green's supposed to flex his arm and show his bicep.
Right, you're
and
not
be like,
Tim Raines, dude.
I'm the manager here.
Yeah, like, right. You mean you're going to do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So things like that, just in the fact that at the very least, all we wanted to have was a stable glove out of the guy, and we still haven't even had that.
Well, Marver says that it's a small sample size and that before long he'll be at positive value.
I just don't see it.
Don't see it.
I just do
not see it. Even yesterday, no one's mentioned it, really. I haven't seen it talked about, but he literally dropped a fly ball last night.
Yeah, like, right.
The most fundamental defensive play that you can make.
Yes, yeah, proper, yeah. And miss that tag.
Yeah.
So, but he had a home run, so everything's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to say anything mean.
He's completely redeemed himself.
So what do you think about that? Obviously, things are very divided, right? There is a faction that says, hey, you support your players no matter what. They're wearing a Padres uniform, and that's who you root for.
Yeah.
And then there's another faction that says, well, you root for the team, right? And you want the best for the team because the goal is to win.
Yeah.
How do you think it really reconciles? Like, there really is no. I don't think there's any coming together on this point.
No. We're going to be divided on this until he's done until he's out the door.
I think it's fundamentally a San Diego fan thing, where there is a large faction that will defend mediocrity no matter what because they're our guy. And I've always thought that that's guided San Diego teams down the road to mediocrity, and that at some point, hopefully, the fan base would expect more. Like, I think that's one thing Marver and I have always wanted, is to try to convince the fan base to ask for more, because we deserve more. And I don't think, Ian Kinsler wears a Padres uniform. I'll give you a long, 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 long list of terrible players that have worn a Padres uniform.
Right. Yeah. That we didn't feel any connection to whatsoever.
Right. And even in years that we did, even in years that we didn't think that there was no chance they were going to win, which is fundamentally different than this year, where the tools are there that if the right, right things come together, like this team could actually make the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
And so having an Ian Kinsler out there hitting 160 and OPSing 400 or whatever, like these are that's a blockade to meeting that goal,
right? Yeah.
And so I don't think the fan. I will just die arguing that it's the fans' right to express that the team should be better, that they should be doing more,
right?
That there are things they could easy things they could do. And you mentioned Greg Garcia. Craig Elston laid out a great argument, a great defense of Greg Garcia in their podcast this week. And how do you continually bench a guy that has an OBP of over 400 on this team? Where 400, like 330 is a great OBP on this team. Great.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting a guy for veteran leadership. So you could stick Ian Kinsler into leadoff. Like, are we really all that wrong? Are we being mean? Like advocating for something better?
Not at all. Not at all. And like I said earlier, Greg you can move him all over the place.
He takes pitches,
and he
works the pitcher.
Like last night, his very first at bat, he struck out. He's like, okay, not good. But he struck out on a 3-2 count. It seems like every single time he goes to the plate, he's seen a bunch of
And what's
of pitches.
Ian Kinsler averaging?
And that's
3 to 4 pitches, on a good day.
I mean, it's gotten to the point where when he has a start, when he definitely has a start at leadoff, that I just go through and I count the pitches. Like the last time he started at leadoff,
11 pitches, 4 at bats.
4 at bats.
That's less than 2.5 pitches per plate appearance.
It's just terrible. You just can't have that. And it just it's happened all year long.
The thing with the Dodgers series, like it was obviously the Padres were greatly outmatched, but like one thing that was abundantly clear is it's not just that they have more talent; it's that their approach.
Oh, their approach is insane.
Is better.
Yeah,
like you see these players taking pitches. I think in the is it the Paddock game? Paddock, obviously, like he gave us some runs, right?
Right.
He wasn't getting swinging strikes.
Yeah.
And actually, I was surprised. The announcers actually pointed this out at how few swinging strikes he was getting. And a lot of that was based on the patience that the Dodgers were showing. They weren't chasing outside the strike zone. They weren't – I mean, God, last night, Franmil swung at a pitch like 2 feet out of the strike zone. Like, it's like a total – like these are like fundamental approach issues that we're lacking.
Right.
And that, like, the only player I see bringing a Dodgers-like approach to the plate, obviously he doesn't have the natural talent, he doesn't have the bat speed, but he does have the approach of the Dodgers, is Greg Garcia.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, the numbers don't lie. We're, once again, and it seems like it's every season, we're right at the top of the list with the most strikeouts.
And the least and walks.
And we're right at the bottom with the least walks. Yeah. And right, I don't know what happened after last night, but I know we were fourth in strikeouts, and we were dead last in walks. It put this team in middle of the road, 50, right in the middle on both of those. Can you imagine what the record would be?
Franmil wouldn't be hitting 11 solo home runs or however many he has this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got 13 home runs. How many of those are solo?
Yeah.
So, it's a problem, and it's a problem every single season. We're always right at the top with the strikeouts and right at the bottom with the walks. And this season would have been one you would think that there would be a change with that. And, you know. So well, when do we fire Johnny Washington? That's the question. How much longer does he
have? He's clearly the problem.
Clearly the problem. Yes, it's always the hitting coach.
There's always a lot of talk about lineup protection, right? And you've added these huge pieces to the lineup.
Right.
And yet there's not more intentional walks. There's not more pitching around Franmil, you know, or pitching around Manny to get to Will or Hosmer or whatever. Like they're still not seeing more pitches.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're definitely right. Yeah.
So
and the last couple, it seems like the last few lineups or so, we have like three guys hitting right now. It's Franmil, Manny,
2, 3, 4 in the lineup,
and
right?
Hosmer. And it's like,
and look, I've been as negative as anyone on Hosmer, but Hosmer's been doing it.
No, he has. He really has.
I mean, he goes on a hot streak. He went on hot streaks last year too, and then disappointed us. So let's see if he sustains it.
Yeah, hopefully he does.
I will give him credit where it's due. He's been one of the three people that actually produce in this
100%. Yeah. There's nobody else that you can. Will obviously had that nice start, and since then it's just
classic Will.
It's been bad. Ooh, it's been bad.
He feels good though, which actually brings us.
Yeah,
actually, are we ready to close out the Kinsler conversation?
We can. Is there anything else we need to get into?
Andy Green says players that homer should start the next day. Or actually, this is a Buddy Black policy, but I think Andy Green has continued it.
I think so.
So let's say
you get that homer.
I don't think the lineup is out yet. Let's say that Kinsler is leading off tonight. Are you going to cheer him because he hit the game-winning home run last night?
You think they'd pop him into the...
Well, he hit a game-winning home run, right? Andy Green supports his veteran leaders.
Yeah, but he also said that they were disappointed in what he said, so I don't know.
How much do you believe?
I believe that.
We have an extra... The hilarious part of last night, and you were actually at the game, so I don't know how much you've watched of the FSSD post-game show, where they, you know, there's the Andy Green press conference, and then they talk to some of the players.
I didn't get to see. I only saw the Kinsler interview. That's all that I saw. I didn't see Andy's interview.
Well, so they interview Andy first. Well, they interview Franmil first, and then...
Franmil. Yeah, I watched that. I was standing like 5 feet
away.
Which
is fine.
Yeah.
It was good.
Right. Yeah, Franmil. By the way, just real quick, Franmil and Scan are just the best together. Honestly, Franmil should do the post game every single time because he loves Scan.
Yeah,
and he messes with him throughout the interview. It's the best thing to watch.
English isn't his fluent language.
Right. Yeah.
When I go to Mexico, you don't hear me speaking in like eloquent terms. It's like I will have a beer. I want this, and I point at the menu, and then it's where is the hotel? And that's it.
Exactly.
Like, Franmil's first language isn't English. So when Scan asks him an eloquent engineering question about approach at the plate, he's not capable saying.
Right. It's so great.
And so that's when you're Pedro Serrano out there and you're like, I see ball, I hit ball. that's like me in Mexico. That's like, I see beer, I drink beer. Baño.
I love the two of them together. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
So Andy Green, went to him
by the
first.
Way, weird that it wasn't Kinsler last night, though, right? Right?
Well, they made Scan delete his video from the dugout celebration, right? Marver took some, luckily took some screenshots from that.
Very interesting.
I wonder who was involved with that.
I wouldn't have a clue.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, anyway, go. Please.
So they went to Andy first, okay. And Andy immediately jumped out. Obviously, Bernie Wilson is the only one advocating for us, the fans. He's the only one asking the tough questions, and he did ask, you know, actually Bernie Wilson, star of the Ben and Wood show, which was he was excellent on there for the yes. Golden Hour.
Yeah, of course.
He asked Andy about it, and Andy looked ashamed. His comments were that, you know, that's not appropriate. He's, you know, he's a professional, and he's very intense. And that passionate. Was just the emotion coming out. Very passionate. Appreciate the passion.
Passionate.
But it wasn't appropriate.
Yep.
Andy clearly knew what the implications were of what Kinsler had said.
Oh, yeah.
Or someone had told him or, you know, whatever. He was very aware of it. And the hilarious part is then they cut to Kinsler in the locker room, Bernie asking the questions. And Kinsler's like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's a way to motivate the team. That yeah. wasn't about yeah. the fans.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's an inside thing.
Right. And then they went to Andy again, and Andy still, no one has talked to him to tell him what Kinsler flat out denied everything. And he's like, you know, it's just, you know, not appropriate. We'll deal with it. It's fine. You know,
oh, so they just left him.
And then I heard he went on Coach this morning also
yeah.
and said the same thing, basically.
Right.
That, you know, it's not appropriate. There may be discipline. It's hilarious. Like the lack of communication.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And clearly, I don't know if it's clearly, but I would argue that Kinsler probably had someone talk to him beforehand, one of the marketing or PR people, and said, hey, we're trying to control this. We've already deleted Scanlon's tweet where we told MLB to cut that out of all future highlights. Like,
yeah,
we got a plan, Ian. Just stick to the plan.
It was so clear that he was lying. It was so clear that he was lying. And like you said, Bernie was really asking the question that the follow-up question that Bernie had, which was, well, or not the follow-up, but not a question, but he just said, well, that's how the fans took it. And he just looked at him and said, okay.
Yeah.
And then they just went on to the next thing. It's like, dude, he's...
Which is also, I mean, if you're trying to control insulting the fans, which, of course, telling them to F off is an insult to the fans, whether you take that personally or not, I personally do not. I think both of us don't take it personally. We've been critical. I literally posted a Hitler video of Ian Kinsler this week. Like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, why hasn't anybody thrown a spotlight on you, by the way? It's like, you know, I'm getting it. Eric, miserable Padre fan, he's getting it. But you put out a cinematic masterpiece this week, and it's like that. Nobody said, oh, it was probably that video that he saw.
Wow, it's a lot of production value. You know, he probably recognized really how much time I put into the script.
Yes, and, it's incredible. It's incredible stuff. I mean, really.
But, like, you and I don't feel personally insulted by it. It's
whatever.
I'm of the opinion, like, if you dish it, then you should be able to take it, right?
Yeah, right.
And I think that that's somewhat of some kind of social contract where I think that we should be allowed to boo from the stands if we so wish.
If we so wish,
I think that we should be able to comment on someone's a public figure's performance.
Oh, 100%. Right.
You can comment on the president's performance. You can comment on Ian Kinsler's performance. It's fine.
Right.
But be willing to accept the consequences of that. This is the whole thing with free speech, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
You can't be put in jail for something you say.
Right.
But you can certainly have consequences for what you say. You're not free from that. And the same goes for Ian Kinsler. He's free to say it. I'm okay with accepting it. There are consequences for it. And there are consequences for things you and I say. And we're both willing to accept those consequences and do. And so I think the whole like... you need to be respectful. We need to not be so mean. We're savages to him.
Like, pushed I
think
him
that's,
to it.
We pushed him into it. I think that's a little silly. And I don't know what your profession. I don't know what your profession is. I know that in my profession, I'm a professional, right? And there are cases where I have a customer who may be vulgar or demanding or disrespectful. And part of being a professional is biting my tongue and solving the problem as a professional, right?
You deal with it and get through it.
And I think that's one of the key things here is that Ian Kinsler is a professional. And what you expect from your veteran leaders is professionalism, right? Eric Hosmer is there to teach the young kids how to play the game the right way. Ian Kinsler is being a very public figure in expressing his opinions on how to play the game the right way, right?
Yeah.
Which coincidentally is not the way the Latin players play it, but he's you know, he's working on that.
Those damn Dominicans.
Yeah. and so I do think that the lapse in professionalism is something we can is fair game to talk about, right?
I mean, oh, I got 100%. And I get his frustration. I totally do. But his frustration should be, I mean, look in the mirror. That's your frustration should be with the way that you have been playing.
That's also part of professionalism, right?
Right. Yeah. I can understand, like, if he had come across home plate and fuck yeah, okay, yeah, you've been frustrated because this has been a difficult
and
year
you
for
did
you.
It. You believe in yourself. You did something great.
Right. Yeah, you're obviously a tremendous player for a long time. I just don't understand how that's a fan thing.
Right.
I that's the part that I could not get last night.
Okay, so closing this topic.
Yeah.
Are you ready to retire from being the number one Ian Kinsler critic on Padres Twitter?
Absolutely not. Okay. He's gonna go for four tonight. We all know it. We know this.
How many errors?
Go for four. You know what's funny is he only has two, and he should have like four. The official score there, I don't know what's going on there. But
he didn't get an error for the pop fly that dropped last night, right?
Oh, no.
It hit his glove. Usually when it hits your glove, they give you an error.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had a couple others that were, I mean,
he wasn't even sprinting into it. Like, he did run in to get in the area.
Yeah.
But, like, once things settled and the communication was, like, you know, Franmil backed off, like,
yeah.
He was moving towards it, but he wasn't sprinting full speed.
The play was kind of a mess. But, yeah, I mean, he was the one who touched it. And, like I said, Luis catches that 100 times out of 100.
Of course, Luis does everything.
Everything right.
Hey, Luis hits that home run also.
Everything right. Yes, 100%. Yeah. Right.
Much more attractively.
Yeah, yes. And longer, harder.
God, incredible distance.
Incredible distance. Yeah. Launch angle!
God, the splash zone is just incredible when it's Luis Urias.
Yes, exactly. Come home, sweet prince.
God, we need you. Okay, so the only other topic I have for today, I mean, unless we want to have a session of just bashing Marver, because now, so this is interesting. You've now been a party to me trying to get Marver into podcast.
Yes.
You've seen how it is like pulling teeth to get him to. You see where we're situated right now, and you have actually been to Marver Manor.
Oh yeah, I have. Yes.
How many minutes away from Marver Manor are we by motorized vehicle right now?
Three, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah, three or four. Yeah.
Would it have been an incredible burden for him to come here?
He's just trying to provide for his family and his. Pregnant wife and all those things.
Yes.
So,
you also were a party to Marver defending Kinsler on our our group DM.
Yeah, he did a little bit.
In fact, I should probably read this. But
are we going to read? Well, are you going to describe the pictures too that in that group DM? Because we probably shouldn't get into that.
So you've been maintaining a Kinsler lover list, yes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have a list. Oh,
Marver is on that list, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And he denies it. He's like, well, he's not going to. But what did he say? He's going to. He'll get up to replacement level. Is that what he said? I can't remember.
He used very specific words, actually, okay. That make it difficult to criticize him later.
He's very good with that, isn't
he? Because Kinsler has been so terrible so far. Historically terrible.
Negative 0.6 right now.
Right. The worst players in Padres history by war have been Alexi Ramirez, who is about negative 2 war, and actually Chris Gomez in 1999, who is like negative 2.4.
Ooh, and boy, those Gomez are actually fell off the table.
Those are actually top 10 worst WAR seasons in baseball history. Marver said, "Quote: Ian Kinsler." I called him on it and said, "We could also talk about how ballsy it is for Marver to tie all of his credibility into Ian Kinsler being good." Hey, and for the record, let's make it clear here: David Marver has tied all of his credibility on Padres Twitter on Ian Kinsler being an average to an above average player. And so, Corey, to be clear here, if and when Ian Kinsler is not a average or above average player, I think we can all agree that David Marver no longer has any credibility on Padres Twitter. Am I correct in that interpretation? I mean, I just read the quote. Is that a correct interpretation?
It's tough. It's really tough. It's one player. Aren't you allowed one mulligan? I think that's going to be his mulligan is going to be.
Well, look, I'm a pretty avid golfer, and I will say that mulligans are a sign of a golfer that disrespects the game, which of course is a game where you are grading yourself, and it's really a testament to your character.
That's true. So, good point. Okay.
You know, if David Marver wants to take a mulligan, he's free to do that, but it doesn't mean that we need to respect that decision.
That's true. That's a good point. It's
certainly a character flaw, I would argue. Marver continued, Ian Kinsler is not good at all, but he's probably an above replacement level player on a, quote, go forward basis. So he's hedging that because, of course, Kinsler has been historically terrible. And he has set the terms to where Kinsler only has to be not historically terrible. He can just be terrible.
Let's say they just stick him at second for the rest of the season, and he's the main starter. Do you think that he gets – where do you think he ends up?
Right around zero.
Right. Yeah.
Right around zero.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. His defense did carry him to like a 2-WAR season last year. But
yeah,
he's getting older. Like,
right. That's
100%. How things work. You fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
I'm in my mid-30s. Like, I'm falling off a cliff.
I fell off that cliff.
I was in a lot better shape 2 years ago at 35 than I am at 37. I'll tell you that.
I fell off that cliff and I've been life flighted back up to it so I can fall off of it again.
Now I just heavily drink to deal with it. And the joke's on me. That actually makes it worse, I found out.
Man, the hangovers are bad. Ooh, they're bad.
Did you know beer has a lot of calories in it?
I keep hearing that. That's why I usually stick with the bourbon. You know, I love my brown. That's basically it. So,
Luis Urias, okay, the last topic I have is actually a positive thing. Marver and I talked on actually the last time I think we podcasted here at Double Peak. The Padres were about to embark on a 20-game stretch. On paper, at the time, it looked like a difficult stretch. It was Seattle Mariners, Dodgers, Mets, Nationals, Rockies at Colorado, Dodgers again. Basically, the last stretch we've had.
Right. Tough stretch.
On paper, you're like, oh, wow, the Nationals, they're really good. The Nationals are actually really awful this year. They're one of the worst teams in the National League. But at the time, Marver and I said, you know what? If they went 9-11 on this stretch, consider it a victory. So the Padres actually went 10-10. Some of that is because I looked at it yesterday. If you exclude the Dodgers, who are just otherworldly good, the other teams that they played in that stretch, the other 15 games they played were against teams with a below 500 record, like quite a bit below. Like even if you add the Dodgers record into it, and I think they're like 13 games over 500, it was like 130 and 128. So basically a 500 opposition, and they went 500 against it. It's an average performance, and by what I would argue is an average team. But I think there's a lot of good things that came out of it when you think that Tatis is hurt, hasn't been playing in that stretch.
Yeah, because going into that stretch, he was still
– I mean, he is the best position player on the team
right.
by war,
and he was healthy going into that stretch. Yeah.
So. Do you see a lot of positives in this team?
Yeah, I definitely do.
I mean, there are a lot of holes.
There are a lot of things to identify.
But
Tatis obviously is a huge positive, and it's I just want him to come back. And this whole thing has been so weird because when he got hurt, and it was like,
are you new here?
He might not. Yeah, he was, but it's like he might not miss any time. He's going to come on. He's gonna miss some time.
AC was like. He might be back on Monday against the Braves.
Right.
Or the Braves. That's the other team that's in this.
It's like, are you crazy? No. I mean, honestly, when he got hurt and they bring him off, it's like immediately my thought was just put him on the 10-day right now and bring somebody up that can help.
Yeah.
Either a reliever or something. Because just be as careful as possible with this guy. It's like, oh, well, he might be back Monday. I was going, what? And now how long ago was the Washington series? It seems like forever ago, and we're still being told, oh, he might not. He's probably not going to be back this week.
Well, next week, Andy Green yesterday said not this homestand, which brings us through next Wednesday at the least.
Okay,
I don't know if you saw the interesting thread that Sacmunt Chris tweeted yesterday. He has a friend who's some kind of physical therapist or doctor or some kind, and who has in the past analyzed a lot of these injuries and been totally spot on. And his assessment of this was that, yeah, they'll say a week, but, like, that's to get him up to running to speed, and then you're not going to bring him back right away. You're going to, you know, rehab him and whatever. So he's, like, he's a ways off. Like, we're looking at June, probably, by the time he gets back.
Right, yeah.
And still, yet, even with that, even with the best position player out, they still went 10-10 on that stretch.
And he changes games.
He does.
Like crazy.
When you look at the lineup.
On base, everything changes because his speed is crazy. He can get to second on anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, or to take third off nothing.
Well, and when you look at lineup construction, like we've all seen the past few games, like there are massive holes outside of the 2-4 spot in the lineup, right?
Yeah.
But having Tatis in the lineup, immediately it's like, okay, well, then you have 2-5, which is productive. That's cutting substantially the number of holes in your lineup and giving those later players a lot of more opportunity with guys that are getting on base or...
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Huge deal. And also, and the defense. Now you have, and obviously Manny at short has been amazing, mm-hmm. but you still have a third baseman that is either Ty France or Greg Garcia, and Ty did a pretty good job. He can't hit. But he did pretty well defensively at third. Aside from a couple of plays, like he missed a foul pop up mm-hmm. the other day that Manny would have caught, and you know, but to have Manny and Tatis on that side. Nothing gets.
He's a fringe prospect. He's not a guy you can. He's right. What the old Padres would count on.
Yes, right, exactly.
100%. The new face of Padres doesn't, you know,
right.
Ty France isn't.
No. But so offensively, Tatis changes everything. So for them to go through that, most of that stretch because he got hurt the last game of the Washington series. That's a positive. Definitely a positive.
I think there's other positives too. Franmil has obviously been great.
Yes.
And when you start extrapolating, you know, we're right past the quarter point of the season. You know, we're past the small sample size threshold generally. Franmil's on pace to hit like 50 home runs this year. Like
he's got 13 right
he's
now.
He's Greg Vaughn for a new generation.
Oh.
You know, he basically is, really. Greg Vaughn wasn't a great fielder. He had a good arm. Franmil has a pretty good arm. You know, he's kind of. You know, you hold your breath when he goes out there, and
right.
There was one when Strom was pitching. Strom gave up a lot of hard contact. I don't think a lot of people have talked about that, but like he only gave up two runs, but there was a lot of deep flies to the warning track, right? And I don't know if you remember this one where Franmil looked up and he leaped for the ball because he didn't just take three steps. He had plenty of time. He actually stopped then leaped for the ball on the warning track.
Yeah.
And like it's moments like those where he made the play, but I was pretty scared.
Oh yeah, like, I'm scared every time it goes into the outfield.
Yeah,
who out there aside from Margot?
But
if it's against the wall, then I'm totally scared because I don't know what the deal is with him on the
ground
wall.
Balls. But, like, yeah. I'm trying to remember. There was a game this year where the ball just went under his glove.
It went all the way. Yes,
he's not nails out there.
No, he's not. But he's the best of the bunch.
Sure.
And when he's not out there, like last night, Will was in center, and Will he takes some routes.
He makes the play.
He made all of them last night. He did. But he takes some routes.
I'm scared.
And Dickerson in left he is terrible in left field. He's worse than Hunter in left field. Which blows me away. I mean, it's
luck.
Bad.
He's a fringe prospect.
Another one, right? Exactly. Yes, but. Literally anything hit into the outfield, it scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It really does.
Same here?
Yeah.
Other players. Manny Machado, on pace for 5 WAR this year. You know, for all the talk of his slow start and, you know, he's on pace for 5 WAR. Like, he's on pace for, like, 35 home runs this year. Like, is exactly what we would have expected when he was signed.
Yeah. And he's on a 10-game hitting streak right now or more
like
or something
that.
Like
yeah.
that? Yeah. Right, yeah.
And he kills the Dodgers. That's the best part.
I know. Yeah. Yes, he does. The play he made last night at shortstop with the rolling
it was Caminiti
and the throw.
It was the Caminiti play at shortstop.
I just stood up just like looking around at people like, wow, what this? We have this for how long?
Yeah, and then immediately after you were like, Kinsler, why don't you? Yeah. Why can't you do that? And then Kinsler glared at you.
But he's incredible. It seems like honestly every single game. He has a defensive play that makes you jump out of your seat and just go, oh my God.
Yeah.
He's so incredible. And he's split time.
He wasn't
time
supposed
now.
To be a good shortstop.
Yeah. And
that
he's
was the
split,
whole thing.
And he's
right?
split time between both of them.
Yeah.
Because he's out of necessity. He's just, anything that goes to that left side, I'm looking at Ty or Greg or whoever's over there. Just like, dude, just get out of the way. Just get out of the way. Just let him get it.
Yeah.
Let him do the Kelly Leak thing. Just like, wait, if he can get to the ball, let him get it.
Defer, please. Yeah, defer. Just defer.
He's just incredible. He's absolutely incredible. What a talent.
Renfro on pace for 3 WAR. Renfro's been good.
He has. He has. He killed me the other night though with the with that at bat at the end of the game against the Dodgers, because there were he's just not what he used to be anymore, and he was leaving some pitches right down the middle. I mean, right down the middle that we know Hunter can smoke. Mm-hmm. And there was at least three of them in that at bat that he could have killed, and he didn't. And I was just like, I know we were all hoping lightning's going to strike twice, and that's very difficult to do. Clearly, but he just didn't have it, and he just couldn't hit him, and it was such a disappointment.
But even with that, I mean, that's a good season.
But yeah, he's 100%. Yeah,
he's really better than we could have ever expected.
Yeah, and he's obviously bouncing in and out of the lineup, so it's really impressive.
He's doing what's asked of him. I don't hear any complaining from him.
Yeah, right.
I want that's the benefit that's the benefit of having a veteran leader like Ian Kinsler in the clubhouse. He's able to foster that kind of.
And by the way, I've beat up on Hunter. I mean, so much. He was my original whipping boy. I feel like, but yeah, he's having a good year. He really is. And honestly, in the outfield, he's been better. You know, at the beginning of the season, we had those like in St. Louis, there were some issues, but there haven't really been any of those. Oh my God! I got to rewind the TV and make a GIF of this.
Yeah, which happens.
Which
I do for Ian Kinsler.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
last bit of recognition. I think has to go to the starting rotation, and credit where it's due. Rick Romero, RJ's fro, called out before the season that he thought the rotation would be better than everyone thought it would be.
He did,
and Marver and I were certainly very negative on this rotation. And I sat and watched Eric Lauer last night. And part of me is like, I think I've been sleeping on Lauer and been too high on Lucchesi. I think Lauer is the one that should stick, and
yes,
that Lucchesi should be the one. You know, he can start. He can start this year.
Erlend's replacement.
Yeah. Well,
that's what Joey is.
Yeah.
He's Erlend's replacement. 100%.
Yeah, that is exactly right.
Yes, he is.
And the bullpen needs guys like Lucchesi. Oh, yeah. We need long guys.
Right, yeah. I mean, if he's throwing that curve and stuff like that, just in like that type of a situation,
I've always said this about Luis Perdomo also. Like, why are you guys starting him? He's a sinkerball specialist.
Yeah.
Bring him in when there's a guy on first and try to – he's your double play machine, right?
Yes, right, exactly. I'm hoping that we're going to see more of him soon, and I'm sure we will with the way that the bullpens and they've been bringing
people
up. Or not.
I won't miss him, down. To be honest.
No. No.
Whatever the situation, whether he's part of the future or not, I really don't care.
Whatever. Right.
But
yeah. But yeah. But the, well, the starting rotation has been.
We were talking about this a second ago.
I like Lauer a lot. I like Lauer a lot.
But there's a lot of players where you're like,
oh,
yeah. I don't care.
I really don't. Right.
And honestly, Lucchesi's kind of getting there for me. Like, it's like, give or take, like,
he scares me.
Eric Stoltz was kind of the same.
Eric
Stoltz had an incredible season with the Padres.
Oh, yes, he did. Yeah.
Lefty. I forget what his ERA was, but it was great. He was the ERA leader. He was actually one of the league leaders in ERA.
Great year.
And you're like, Eric Stoltz? What do I care about that guy? It's happened before. Like, Clay Hensley, when he pitched for the Padres, he was top 10 ERA, and this was still when ERA actually mattered.
Yes.
And everyone just shrugged, and we're like, I don't care if Henley's on the team next year. Like, he sucks. Like, I kind of put, I don't know, Lucchesi's actually not as good as Clay Hensley, but.
Yeah, I'm scared whenever he's out. Because I can just see him giving up 6 runs in any inning at any time. It's going to click that it's like, oh, okay, they figured him out, and they're just going to start crushing him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and it's happening.
Yeah,
and starting to happen.
Right, and of the 5 or 6, I guess at this point now, he's the last guy that I want to see. It's funny because when I decided at the very last minute last night to go to the game, I'm going to go. So haul ass down there, get there, sit down, and I realized I don't even know who's pitching. Yeah, I didn't even look. What's funny is I'd seen the lineup because I had to find out if Kinsler was going to be in it. Kinsler. When I saw Kinsler was in it, I was like, okay. And then I just stopped looking at it. And then I walk in, and then
you had a lot of tweets to send.
Exactly. Yeah, got to fire off those tweets. Yeah. So when Lauer came, I was like, oh, good. I'm glad it's not Joey. it's so
Lauer,
terrible.
Lauer was good.
He was.
I was watching him, and I saw him. There was one strikeout that he had where he pumped it up to 94. And, like, that's when Lauer, his ability to do that, I think, is the key. When he's throwing, like, 89, 90, he's very hittable. He totally sucks.
Yeah,
but.
Right. And then he had that bad error where he threw that ball in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he hasn't picked off as many people this year. Like, last year he was picking off one a game. And this year they're watching.
They're pros.
Going.
Yeah, news gets out.
Right. It's like, I got to stay a little
news
bit closer.
News gets out that, like, the extra step you're going to take on the lead isn't going to help you that much.
Don't do it with this guy.
Right.
Yeah, because he has a great move. But, yeah, that one last night just got away from him. That was bad. But he pitched a great game last night. He really did.
Every game with Margavich – no, I'm not going to pronounce it that way. Yeah. Margavicious.
Margalicious.
And Lauer, it's one of those things where I'm like, this is going to be the game where he just gets torched. And they just don't get torched. And I think I've talked about it before, but like in 2010, you weren't living here. I wasn't living here. But I was watching from afar, and it wasn't until like August where I was like, I don't know, maybe they don't suck. Like, this is a 90-win team we're talking about.
Right.
And it really took until August where I was like, I guess it's not smoke and mirrors. Like, maybe they are actually good. And, of course, then they didn't make the playoffs in crushing fashion. But, like, but I kind of feel that way with Margavicious and Lauer and really the whole pitching staff where I'm like, maybe they don't suck. Like, maybe they're average or maybe they're a little better than average. Like, I'm willing to accept that reality now, which is great. It's great
because we're a quarter of the way in.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's now. I'm watching them,
and I'm watching Lauer last night, and I'm like, you know, he's not terrible.
No,
he's not great. Yeah, but he's workable.
Right,
and that's better than any of us thought he was going to be, and really thought the rotation was going to be.
We thought the rotation was going to be bad.
Yeah,
we really did. Yeah, what has been the worst start? Was it Paddock the other night? Has that been the worst of the season so far?
Didn't someone give up 8 runs? I'm trying to think. No, Lucchesi has certainly had some terrible starts.
That's true. He had a terrible one against the Giants, right? Didn't the Giants light him up one game?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, Paddock's start wasn't great.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't terrible.
But it wasn't great. And, you know, on the box score, it doesn't look bad.
Oh, there's the starting lineup.
Oh, and there it is.
Where's he at?
Hey, Corey, can you read who's leading off? Who's leading off?
Oh.
Is it... Hey, is it Greg Garcia?
Kinsler leading off.
The guy with the OVP of 400 plus?
And Ty at third. Oh. Margot in center. Hedges. Oh, wow. So, again, our 2, 3, and 4 hitters are our only chance to get a hit tonight.
Are you not aware that Kinsler hit a game-winning home run yesterday?
Right, yeah. And he won a gold glove. I don't know if you know this last year. Wow.
Can't wait to watch that game. It's going to be great. Lucchesi's pitching. All right. Let's close this out. And the whole point of this whole second portion of the podcast is that things aren't that bad.
No, they're not.
And you and I may complain because we want better out of the team.
Yeah.
Because we see potential in the team. And there are ways that I think that this team could better capitalize on what they've got. But going 500 over that stretch, not bad.
Not bad at all.
And some of these performances are well beyond not bad. They're
good. Where were we last year at this point?
Oh, miserable.
Right. Yeah. And no hope.
I'd be a lot drunker.
No hope at all. And watching guys that, at least, like I said, with the Manny, there's a highlight play every single night. Like, that's something to be excited about.
Yeah.
Seeing Fran Mill launch bombs, that's something to be excited about.
I see it a lot. I'm not going to pretend. You see a lot. You know, now there's a reason for me to tune in every night. I'm not going to lie. I tuned in anyways. Like,
yeah.
I tuned into a lot of terrible baseball. Oh. Even in D.C. when I had to tune in at 10 o'clock. I'd still tune in to terrible baseball.
I know. Oh, I watched some bad games.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
I was producing a morning show, a morning radio show in D.C., and I would stay up and I would watch games that started at 10 p.m.
I'd watch as much as I could. I would set the iPad up next to my nightstand. My wife would be passed out, long passed out. I'd be watching a stupid Eric Stoltz start.
Yeah, right. Them down by 4 runs.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Oh. Oh, my God.
And then you're like, oh, man, I sure hope Jerry Hairston Jr. can get this clutch home run to tie this game.
We have suffered through some garbage baseball. By the way, we didn't even mention that we broke the record.
Ugh. Well,
the no-hitters.
You know what? I actually have a thing on this. Do you care that much? Did you care about the cycle that much?
Well, I didn't. No, I didn't care about the cycle.
The cycle's a novelty.
Yeah. The no-hitter, I care more about
nice,
that than the no-hitter.
And I would like to cheer for it. And there have been many cases, don't get me wrong, on the cycle and on the no-hitter front where I've been watching the game, you know, on the edge of my seat. Tommy Medica almost got a cycle. Do you remember? I don't know
if you
were watching.
He was so handsome.
Very handsome.
Oh, my God. Whatever happened to that kid? God, he was good looking.
Well, he's probably in music videos full-time now, right?
He's ass. Yes. Yes. 100%.
So don't get me wrong. Like, it's exciting. It's like it's something. And
right.
When you're a Padres fan, you look for something.
Yeah.
Right. The no hitter to me is it's another novelty. Like a complete game shutout would get me just as excited. Probably.
Really, is a no hitter?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know about that. Yeah. For me,
that's not a cool opinion.
A complete game shutout that is awesome though. But I want to see it. I want to see it. I really want.
There's a novelty to it. Don't get.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah. Totally.
I guess I shouldn't downplay that. Like,
and
for
it's
me,
just weird that we haven't had all these games.
We're the only team.
How has it not happened? No. I was at the Chris Young game, and I lived on the East Coast at the time, and I'd be able to come out to maybe one game a year, and that was the one game that I was at. And he, you know, goes in with that, and I was just certain. And I was up top, and I was, and there weren't a ton of people there, and I'm just pacing. I'm just losing my shit. And then Randa hits that ball, and it was just like the most fucking Padres thing ever.
Maybe that's it.
Traveled all that way, so close.
The whole no hitter thing, it's a metaphor for being a Padres fan, kind of. And so.
Well, I mean, look at our cycles.
Both in Colorado.
And with who?
Matt Kemp.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Will Myers. It had to be in Coors Field. Like,
yeah, so there's
they
an
had
asterisk.
To take a shortcut for it.
Yes,
like,
right. Yeah, right. And Kemp has to be one of them. Ugh.
It's just like, I can't punish myself anymore about it. Like, right? It's been what? Exactly. What is it? 8,020 games without a no-hitter?
Right. Yeah.
I just...
Watch. You know, it'll be Joey. Joey will be the guy who does it. It's going to be somebody that's just so...
Paddock.
It's going to be Paddock. It's going to be Paddock. It's going to be Paddock. It's not going to be Paddock.
I actually finally got caught up on the Darren Smith podcast he did this week.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually mentioned
fantastic.
It about the Edwin Jackson no-hitter. And I was in an airport listening intently for that. It was Edwin Jackson on, like, his 12th team. You know, clearly a short-timer.
Didn't he just got signed again, right?
Again, yeah. 14th team, 14th. Major league record with the Blue Jays.
Wow.
There's been other cases. Odrisimer Despaigne took it into like the seventh inning, and I love Odrisimer Despaigne.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, it's too much to deal with the politics of did the right person get it? Is a combined no-hitter enough for us? Like,
no, I don't want a combined.
I just don't want to. I don't want to dig into these politics. I just want.
Yeah. We just need to have it happen and just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
And it's going to be somebody that's really unspectacular is how it's going to be. It's not going to be
– like,
it won't be bad.
It's like –
it won't be Gore.
Well, we can't have Despaigne be our first no-hitter. He's a nobody.
Fuck. We just have to do it. We just got to get it out of the way. But, yeah, I don't want to –
Hey, here's a newsflash. Most no-hitters are thrown by nobodies. It's surprising if you go look at the list of no-hitters.
The Padres.
Just against everyone. Like Mike Fiers is a nobody. Bud Smith is a nobody.
The Bud Smith one was just like, I just remember just tearing my hair out that entire game going, are you fucking kidding me? Not one of you guys can get a hit off this guy. Him.
In 10 years, Walker Buehler will be a nobody. Like, all of these are just.
God. The Bud Smith one was here, too, right?
Here,
that was home.
Yeah.
Jesus, at home. Bud Smith.
Yeah. AJ Burnett. Like,
Christ.
Brutal. All right, well.
Well.
It's been a good episode, Corey.
Has it?
Well, I don't know. We discovered that Ian Kinsler's leading off tonight, so
right, exactly.
It can only be so good.
I'm just going to wait for the rating from Leisure. That's all I care about. I just want him to be happy.
That's all he really wants, right? Is us to
wait. Oh, can I read this right now?
I would hope so.
Okay. We've just been handed some very important and urgent
is
breaking
this from
news.
The only local journalist
that
we trust?
Yes. Bernie Doc El Cajon Wilson says, Ian Kinsler says his only regret about last night is that he didn't save his F-bomb outburst for the clubhouse rather than doing it on the field. Asked if he wanted to say anything to fans who thought he was directing it at them to clear things up, he said, quote, no, unquote. Hashtag Padres.
God, he's so lovable. You know, when I think of lovable players like Luis Urias and Fernando Tatis Jr., it's impossible to not mention Ian Kinsler in the same breath.
By the way, right before we end this, I just have something really, really petty to talk about with him last night. So last night was the Comic-Con night thing or whatever. So they do the things on the board, mm-hmm. a video board with players, and they interview them, they ask them questions. So the question last night was, are you a Wonder Woman fan or are you a Catwoman fan? And so they go through, they probably did, I don't know, 9 players or something like that. And some of the guys, you know, they had a few sentences or whatever and blah, 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 blah. And so they go through like 3 guys and they're not like the most thought out answers or anything like that, but they're okay. And they get to Kinsler and Kinsler says, Wonder Woman. And then they just go on to the next player. Like, literally, that's all he said. He's just standing there looking just blank at the Wonder Woman. And then boom, they go to the next guy. I was just like, electric personality right there.
Well,
say to the fans,
hey,
no.
I've learned in the last day that we need to be supportive of all players. No matter what they do and no matter how they treat us, I think we need to respect them. We need to respect the veteran leadership that they bring to the table. And I think we need to really start appreciating what Ian Kinsler is bringing to this ball club.
He's a Padre.
Yeah.
So we got to support him at all costs.
Well, this has been another edition of the Gwintelligence Podcast. A delightful, marvelous edition of the Gwintelligence Podcast. Corey, thanks for joining us here in your neighborhood.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for driving through the methane. And, you know, we're all hopefully going to be healthy after this episode. And
I thought you were talking about the meth at first. I was like,
well, go Padres.
Go Padres.